It is my privilege this morning to share the word with us. And so we are continuing with our series, I Am Jesus. There's been a couple of divine interruptions necessary. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at I Am the Resurrection and the Life. This morning, we are looking at the topic, and we're going to be preaching around the statement that Jesus makes in John 10, verse 11, where he says, I am the good shepherd. And so he goes on to say, he says, I am the good shepherd, John chapter 10, verse 11. And he goes on to say this incredible statement, the good shepherd, that is Jesus, lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, makes a statement. And then he goes on to say that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm wanting to emphasize this statement that Jesus makes, that he is good. He is good. When we look at Jesus, everything about him is good. And I trust this morning that we have a revelation of the goodness of God displayed to us, exhibited to us, expressed to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is good. That is worth an amen. So Paul was here, he would continually say amen, and we would repeat amen. So I'm going to keep his tradition going for a while. And so Jesus, friends, is the substance of the gospel. The gospel is good news. Paul highlighted that last weekend when he ministered to us. Jesus, the good shepherd, was willing to go to the cross and die in our place. This is good news, the good news of the gospel. John 10, verse 9, Jesus opens a statement where he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He says that I am the gate. Whoever enters through the gate, in other words, through me, will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Friends, we have to look at this statement within a context, the context of the world that we live in, the environment that we are part of. You know, John 10, verse 10, Jesus, again, speaking about saying that I am the gate, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He talks about a thief who comes in to steal and to destroy. The corruption, the messiness, the chaos that we see in our world is due to the influence of a spiritual enemy, the devil, Satan, the prince of darkness. He hates God, he hates God's people. And his mission on earth is to destroy, to steal, to rob. The condition of our world is indicative that he is at work, robbing, stealing, destroying, marriages in trouble, rebellious kids, etc., etc. I don't have to unpack that for us. We just look around and we can see the effects of the prince of darkness, the enemy in our world. But Jesus is saying, into this context, he's saying there is hope. He says, you don't have to be dismayed. You don't have to be discouraged. There is hope. He says, I am the good shepherd. I can bring hope to the trouble that this world is in. His mission, friends, is reconciliation. And the message that the gospel brings, it brings peace. And the peace that Jesus gives is a rich and satisfying life. Jesus goes on to say, he says, I have come as the good shepherd. I've come, I've laid my life down for this purpose. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I have come, just ponder, just think about that for a moment. I have come so that you, us, might have life, not just life, but life to the full. In this metaphor that Jesus is sharing, him being the shepherd, we are the sheep. You know, for the record, the Bible refers to sheep about 225 times. No other animal is mentioned in the Bible as much as a sheep. I think dogs are mentioned 4 times. There is a reason that Jesus mentions sheep so many times. Please don't be offended by this statement. But sheep aren't the most intelligent of creatures. Sheep aren't the most intelligent of animals. Don't be offended. I'm just highlighting what Jesus says. He says we are not too clever. We need some help for living. We are all sheep. And like those woolly ones that we see roaming the pastures, they're in need of some help for us to live, for us to have life to the full, satisfying. This life that Jesus talks about, we need some help in that. We can't do it on our own. We know that when we left to our own devices, we mess up. Well, I know I do. And if you're honest, you'll probably say, well, I do too. There are some challenges in being a sheep. Jesus chooses this animal for a good reason, is that most animals can be trained to do things. I don't see a sheep in a circus. They're not clever enough to be in a circus. Can't be trained. They need help. We need help, friends. There are some challenges in being a sheep. The first challenge, a characteristic, and I think most wives can probably identify in this one on behalf of their husbands, is that sheep get lost easily. I have a friend who shall be unnamed. He gets lost walking from the supermarket to his car in the parking lot. He needs a map. He needs an app to get there. Most husbands are like that. Sheep get lost easily. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Isaiah says, we all. Please say, we all. Wives and husbands, we all. Like sheep. have gone astray. Yeah. Each of us has turned to our own way. Driving through the Karoo, you see this quite a lot. As you see, often, sheep on their own, bleating. Meh, meh. If Basil was here, I'd go, Basil. But he's a Malawi. You see these lone sheep bleating, making a racket, making a noise. They are lost. They've gone astray. They've drifted from the herd, from the flock. They've wandered off into the wilderness and now mournfully bleating, hoping that the shepherd would hear them or the flock would hear them and they would come to their rescue. Jesus says, we are like that. That sheep that is lost, that's gone astray, we are like that sheep. We make these independent decisions and we wander away from the protection and the provision of the shepherd, the chief shepherd. We wander away from the protection and the safety and security of numbers, the flock. You know, when sheep all gather together, there is a beginner's handbook to raising sheep, 201, if you're wanting to raise sheep, says it's called flocking. That's why sheep all gather together. And when one runs, they all run with it in one direction. These crazy animals are because they are safer together. We are better together. The second challenge in being a sheep is they are defenseless. Most animals have a form of defense. Rhinos have got horns. Lions have got fangs. Cats have got claws. But a sheep has nothing. No form of defense. It's under threat. When a sheep is threatened, a sheep is totally reliant upon the shepherd for his or her protection. That's why they have a shepherd. That's why they need a shepherd. And so this morning, whatever you think of yourself, you could be Superman or you think you could be the Hulk. The sad news is you're a sheep. You're not Superman. Go and look in the mirror. You're a sheep. You're not Hulk. Devin, your wife is reminding you, you're a sheep. And on our own, like a sheep, we are defenseless. That's a reality. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter highlights this thing of being a sheep, wandering about on our own. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's who he takes out. He takes out that sheep that is on his own or on her own, separated from the flock, doing his or her own thing, living an independent life. Can I say, as a sheep, you're an easy meat. Without the protection of the shepherd, without the protection of his word, without the protection of his power, the Holy Spirit, without the safety of numbers, we are vulnerable as sheep when we go out on our own. I'm building up, please hang in with me. Number three, a sheep is a very stubborn animal. Sound familiar? I have been described often as being very stubborn. And I would agree with them, whoever makes that statement. But I will also agree, we're all stubborn, because we've all got a stubborn streak. So I'm not the only stubborn one here. I love my friend, Paul Kayanja. He is a gracious man. He's probably the most gracious man I know. And when you travel in Africa with him, especially in Uganda, you see some crazy things. You see some really silly things. And I would say, Paul, yes, that person has been stupid. So he says, my brother, he's very stubborn. Nice way of saying, you're stupid. You're stubborn. And so sheep, friends, are not the most intelligent animals on earth. They are stubborn. They do some stupid things. And likewise, sometimes we go through life making some silly decisions, some stupid things. There's a story about a sheep. This is true. Walking between two rocks. There's like this passageway and it narrows. And the sheep walks through this passageway and it gets stuck because it's too narrow to fit through. But it's too dwarf, too stubborn to realize, well, I can reverse out. It just keeps on pressing forward until it gets stuck and it ends up bleating. Just watch this clip, which aptly describes that. I hope it works. That's a sheep, by the way, that's got stuck. Often we like that, aren't we? Going through life. I think that illustrates just something of a stubbornness. We keep on making the wrong decisions, hoping for right results. Sheep need a shepherd's guidance. They are too stubborn to be left to make their own decisions. Like that sheep, we could end up in a tire, spending the rest of our days swinging through life. Likewise, we need help, and we have access to all that we need for life and godliness. And like that sheep would probably need a shepherd to haul him out of that tire that he could join the flock again that he's a part of. We need help in this journey of life and the decisions we make. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Talking about the chief shepherd, his divine power, Jesus, has given us everything. Please say with me, everything. Everything that we need for a godly life. Every decision that we need to make or take, we have access to his divine power through his truth, through the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, through our knowledge of him. We got to know the shepherd if we want to know what the shepherd is leading us in. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. His very great, not just great, very great, precious and promises. When we read the Bible, friends, these are his very great and precious promises. How precious are the words of Jesus to you? I don't know how we can navigate life without accessing his word. If we're to live full lives. I don't know how we can navigate life without leaning on the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in this life that we are to live. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 14, the second part of that verse. This is what Solomon says. He says, counsel and sound judgment are mine. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. The counsel of God Most High, through his word, through the promptings and the leadings of the Holy Spirit, are mine. He says, I have insight. When we have insight into these promises, when we have insight into the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the writer says here, that I have power. Who doesn't want power? In the shepherd, Jesus, we have access to wisdom. We have access to counsel that helps us out of wrong decisions. In other words, we can reverse when we make mistakes. And he is gracious and loving and kind. He is good. And even when we do blow it and we make wrong decisions and make wrong mistakes, through His word and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we are convicted in our heart. So, sorry, Jesus, reverse. And He puts us back on the path, connects us back into His family. Point number four, sheep are messy. We look in the storybooks and we see those pictures of woolly white sheep. They've only been power washed. They've been through a washing machine. And the wool's all glistening and white when they come out. They've had the Omo treatment. But sheep aren't like that in reality. Sheep are dirty. They're brown. They smell. They stink. That's the reality. They're not the wholesome smelling creatures, looking creatures that we see in storybooks. We had the privilege when Herbert Marika got married, of sitting at a table with one of her uncles, Christian, from Bitterfontein. He is a sheep farmer. And he was telling us about sheep. And he was saying, hey, the sheep are crazy animals. He just can't believe how dirty they are, how messy they are. He farms these animals, so he knows them. He's an authority on sheep. He says, when you feed them, you throw the food into troughs. He said, all the sheep climb in that trough, into the trough, and they just eat, and then they poop all over the place. And the sheep are eating while they are pooping. It's like messy business, excuse me. I've got to describe it because it's messy. And he says, Nick, I've got to go in there. I've got to clean that stuff out so that they actually can eat well. We need some cleaning out. Cleaning up. These sheep seem to be content to live like that. We as sheep, friends, we need a shepherd to clean up after ourselves. The messiness of life, the decisions that we make that cause mess and chaos. We need help in that. We need a chief shepherd. We need a Savior. We need Jesus to clean up our lives, to redeem the brokenness of our fallen nature decisions that we make. If we don't have a shepherd to clean that up, how can we be restored? How can we be reconciled? How can we be redeemed? We need a shepherd. You know, it is really good news when Jesus states that He is a good shepherd and He lays down His life for the sheep. He says, I'm laying my life down to clean up yours. Beautiful picture. He is good. I'm laying my life down to clean up the mess of your life, Nick. Those bad decisions that you made, the impact of those on others, I can redeem that. I'm the good shepherd. I'm willing to do that for you. John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. Do we see Jesus this morning as a good shepherd? Let's pause there for a moment. I feel maybe some folk this morning feel I'm beyond redemption. This mess that I'm living in, it's beyond God. No, God can clean that up and restore it. We're all living proof of that. Speak to some people. Listen to their testimony. He is willing and He is able and He desires to, friend. First Peter 2, verses 24 to 25. He Himself bore our sins in His body upon the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, die to the mess, die to wrong decisions, die to selfishness, die to sin. That word that Yanni brought earlier. By His wounds we are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. So when we consider these characteristics of sheep, these challenges of sheep, what does this mean for those who have a confessed faith, a belief in Christ as our good shepherd? Please turn to Psalm 23. We know this psalm well. I think we quote it often, and I think even those who don't believe in Jesus can quote the psalm. But I'm wanting to read it for us, and please read with me. It's just six short verses. David writes, Psalm of David. He has a man who, heart after God, was a man who messed up, made some wrong decisions, faced some incredible consequences of that. But still he is able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Who's the focus upon you, friends? That chief shepherd, Jesus. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want just to look at some shepherd characteristics. We've looked at sheep characteristics. Sheep need a shepherd. Let's look at the shepherd characteristics in the context of Jesus. Firstly, God guides us. God guides us. Verse 3, David writes that he guides me along the right path. Friends, this is linked to John chapter 10, verse 3, that his sheep listens to his voice and he leads them. We can only be led by the voice that we listen to. Which voice are we listening to in the context of our leading? You know, I want to illustrate this, is that I can be outside of a room and I can walk into a room that is filled with 100 people. And I might not see Shelley, but she speaks. She says, I won't see her. But when she speaks, I know she's there because I recognize her voice instantly. In a voice, in a room of 100 other voices, I know which voice is hers. Why? Because I've become accustomed to her voice. I spend time with her. I know her voice. It's through personal and intimate relationship. I've become accustomed to living with her. Every nuance of her voice I recognize. I know exactly what she's thinking and feeling when she speaks to me. Yeah, like that tone changes. I'm like, whoa. He called me ding. Sleeping on the couch tonight. Jokes. No jokes. No, she's never made me sleep on the couch. In the same way, friends, we can only recognize the voice of Jesus through relationship. The voice of the chief shepherd through relationship. You know, this thing of relationship requires spending some time with him. I haven't heard Jesus' voice. Why? Well, maybe you haven't spent time with him. Maybe you haven't spent some time in learning to recognize his voice for you. You want to recognize the voice of Jesus when he speaks? Spend time with him. In the midst of hundreds of other voices that will speak to you about your present and your future, his voice would be the most important. And you're able to recognize his voice in a moment because there's an intimate relationship with him. And most of our troubles, if we're honest, come from making decisions independent of him. Making decisions apart from God. Sheep have gone astray. Can I say this morning that God is not disinterested in you, in your circumstance. He's not ambivalent towards you. He knows exactly what you're going through. Can I say this morning that he has got the exact promise for you in the circumstance that you find yourself in? Will you hear his voice? How do we hear his voice? I've heard of God speaking audibly to people, but to me, God speaks every single day through his word. To me, God speaks through people that I'm connected to, people that are hearing him on my behalf, bring a prophetic word and encouragement in a season, in a moment that I need to hear it. God speaks. Can we be open to hear it? Which voice are we listening to? Secondly, God provides for us. Verse 1, David writes, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Other translations say that I shall not want. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Then he says something very interesting. He says, he makes me lie down. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. Just Think on that for a moment. How often have you seen a sheep lying down? Not often. Mostly they're standing. Sheep 201, the beginner's guide to raising sheep, makes this observation about sheep behavior. They say, if you're wanting to raise sheep, that a sheep will only lie down when it is stress-free and feels safe. In other words, feels contentment and satisfaction. The only time a sheep will lie down is when that sheep is stress-free, is contented and satisfied, fully fed. Isn't it symbolically the same for us? We struggle to rest, lie down, because we're discontented. Struggle to settle, because there's a discontentment. And maybe our discontentment, friends, is fueled by a drive to gather more stuff, to do more things, to be more significant, because there's a lack of peace in our hearts. True rest, true satisfaction, true contentment, peace can only come from the chief shepherd, from Jesus Christ, when he is our fulfillment. As we read in John, I'll give you life to the fullest. David writes about God. He says that he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. You can only lie down when your soul is refreshed. Friends, this goes beyond material and physical things. This is an inner peace and contentment in the heart. And only Jesus can fill that emptiness fully. Second part of the scripture, he refreshes my soul, as I said, goes beyond physical, material position, provision or position. Inwardly, the depths of my heart, Jesus brings peace. Thirdly, God corrects and disciplines us. This is the one part that we maybe kick against in the context of the characteristics of the shepherd. Verse 4 almost seems like an oxymoron, where David says that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How does a rotten staff bring comfort? You know, the rod and staff are vital components of a shepherd's tools. The rod is used as a short stick, quite a substantial stick. It's used for protecting the sheep from predators. It was also used for keeping unruly sheep in line. In other words, disciplining them. Staff is a long, slender, curved rod with a curved end. It was used to rescue sheep, rescue those who have got into trouble. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So your discipline brings comfort. Your rescue brings comfort. Job chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. And Job experienced some stuff, some training. It says, blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. You know, when a sheep goes wandering off and you've got this repeat offender, you know, you always get one. This repeat offender keeps on wandering off, wandering off, wandering off. The shepherd gets so tired of going to rescue that sheep that eventually takes that rod and he cracks its leg so it can't walk, can't wander off. And then he'll pick that sheep up and he'll put it over his shoulder and he'll carry that sheep. Protection, discipline, training. What happens is as that shepherd, you might think it's cruel, but what happens is the shepherd knows if I leave that sheep to his own devices, he's just going to get into trouble. So I'm going to rescue him and I'm going to deal with him in a way. I'm going to train him in a way that he becomes dependent upon me. And that's what he does, is he's forming a bond with that sheep, carrying that sheep over his shoulders, day in and day out. Eventually, that sheep becomes so attuned to the shepherd, he doesn't wander anymore. And sometimes God would do that with us, friends. That he'll use circumstances to deal with us, to shape us, to mold us, so that we might be attuned to him. Stops us from running off, making our own decisions, living our own life, getting into trouble. God wants to rescue. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So not all discipline of the Lord is bad. It's good. He loves us enough to discipline us. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Last point, point number four is God protects us. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Wherever God's in the valleys, God's in the mountaintops, he is with us. We are not alone. The promise of the shepherd, wherever you are, whatever you go through, I am with you. You know, friends, these wonderful promises of God are supported by this incredibly mind-blowing truth. Verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 23. Please read it with me. David writes, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Again, what a shepherd would do, physical shepherd with a sheep, all those insects that cause discomfort and irritants, what they used to do is take oil and rub it on their nostrils. They find peace. Jesus does that. You anoint my head with oil. He says, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 2 points. There's always place at the Father's table for you. There is always place at the Father's table for you. You prepare a table for me. There is, no matter what you've done, no matter how you've blown it, there is always a space at the Father's table for you. God is good. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There is always space at the table for you. And then David says something very interesting. He says, my cup overflows. What he's referring to is Old Testament custom. And so if you went to visit somebody in their home, and the way that you knew that you were welcome is that your cup was always full. And so if your host liked you, he would keep filling your cup with that wine. It would never be empty. You know, when we've had enough of somebody, like you've invited somebody and they've overstayed their welcome, what do we normally do? We don't offer them anything more to drink. We don't offer them another cup of coffee. It's like we wait for them to go. It's true, is it not? Jesus, David says, my cup overflows. Not just full, overflows. Brilliant. You are always welcome in the presence of the King. Always. There's a place at the table and you're always welcome. And I just felt this morning that maybe some folk felt that they were not worthy of that welcome. Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. I'm love. I love you enough to lay my life down for you, sir, ma'am, sheepy. I love you enough to lay my life down for you. He says, there is a place at my table for you. This morning, irrespective of what you've done, irrespective of what decisions you've made in life, irrespective of the messiness that you are facing, he says, this morning, if you'll see me as the chief shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. He says, I will redeem that circumstance, that situation. I will set you free, and you are welcome to come and sit at my table and dine with me. He says, and while you sit at my table and dine with me, my cup for you is overflowing. It will never empty. You are welcome in my presence. You don't have to feel insecure, disqualified. He has qualified us through his blood upon the cross.